Grace for fathers, for sure. Everybody say grace for fathers. This is our day. This is our day. Sorry, ladies. But it's our day. We're definitely going to be talking to us fathers. I'm going to be addressing us men, young men and younger men and young men. And then, of course, for Juneteenth, I thought to put a little spin on it, grace for the black man. Amen. I think y'all going to like how I'm spinning this today with grace. And then the 3-1 is next week. I probably won't finish this 3-1 today. Is look out for the mailman. Everybody say look out for the mailman. You're like, what in the world does that mean? You got to come back next week because I probably won't finish it today. All right. And if you guys are not busy this afternoon, if you want to use a little extra gas, use it up. Gas is still interesting. Amen. But if you want to meet us at the Peace Center today, at 2 o'clock, 2 p.m. If you like good music, if you like good food and good fellowship, we'll be at the Peace Center. It's a free event at the Peace Center celebrating Juneteenth. I want to invite all of you guys. All right. All right. Is that okay? So let's jump into this grace review. So since this is a 3-1, my grace review is we've been talking about grace for 2 months. We're still here. You know why we're still here? Because we still need grace. We absolutely need grace every day. We need the definition of grace, which is, I like this definition, is God's benevolence. Say this with me, God's benevolence, love, and mercy, unmerited favor. I really like the unmerited favor piece because it has everything to do with God and nothing to do with us. I'm never perfect. And so I need something like grace to align me with his will. Amen. Grace actually causes me to act better. Grace causes me to be grateful. Grace causes me to worship, especially when I think about God's benevolence. God's benevolence, in other words, you know, in many churches we have benevolence funds. In other words, we have money that's allocated for others. In other words, we know that others may not be able to afford certain things. So in the benevolence funds, at least when I was growing up, you would select on the envelope missions, and so you would actually give a gift to somebody else. And then when you would show up with the gift, they would be like, oh, wow, did I do anything to deserve this? And you're like, no, you just existed, and the need was there, and we saw the need, and we took it out of our benevolence fund. And so we actually budgeted for benevolence. And I think Dave Ramsey even says, y'all know who Dave Ramsey is, right? I think he even says budget for benevolence. If I'm not mistaken, the financial gurus say budget to give. It shouldn't be like you should put it in your budget. In other words, you should be intentional about gifts, should be intentional about love, intentional about, because that's what grace is. If grace is benevolence, grace is also love and it's mercy. But I am excited, I'm actually encouraged that God actually budgeted me in. He has a line item with my name on it. Alpheus Grace. Amen. For the fathers and for the mothers and for students. Ain't that awesome? Ain't that awesome? I'm from Fafars. But God actually budgets me in. He is so kind that he has a line item with my name on it. Grace shows up about 69 occurrences in the Bible. And I know there's a Hebrew translation that means, I know I see the C, but I want to say it's pronounced hen. All right. And there's about 69 occurrences. And to name a few, when you see grace in the Bible, some translations associate grace with favor with man. All right. In other words, if I come to you and I'm trying to apply for a loan and you say, I'm going to give it to you at 2% interest. And the interest rates, y'all know interest rates are going up, right? I don't know if y'all have seen that. Y'all trying to buy a house these days? God bless you. May heaven smile. Interest rates are growing up. But when they say, hey, I'm going to give it to you for 2%. I'm going in the back office. That's favor with man. All right. And so this word hen, some translations fit favor with man, or it's translated favor with man. And also being gracious. Grace, gracious. Being gracious, also being adorned with grace, like you're wearing grace. Look at somebody and say, grace looks good on you. There's actually a songwriter that actually said that. We are walking around looking like, not like like men and women, we're looking like grace. Because some of the things that we've been through, it was nothing but the grace of God that got us here on June the 19th, 2022. Amen? It was the grace of God that's got us here. Amen? So we are adorned with grace. Hen, that Hebrew word, you may see that in favor with the king. So favor with the king is also, you may see that that translation. I won't stay there and bore you there, but it's definitely interesting to see so many occurrences of grace in the Bible. In other words, so God is full of grace, and he's ready to just display and give us grace and grace us out. Amen? He's just waiting to be kind to us. He can't wait to be kind to us. Amen? Even when we don't think we deserve it. One of the first instances of grace is found in Genesis 6:8. I don't know if the other teachers have lifted this. They probably have. I don't know. If not, this is a review. But one of the first instances of grace is found in Genesis 6:8. Read it with me. Ready, set, go. But, first of all, when you see but in the Bible, you got to know that something came before the but. So I know it feels weird to start a sentence with but. But just know that people were living like H-E double hockey stick right before this verse. And everything around Noah was acting evil and wicked. But, let's read. Ready, set, go. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And it's interesting in the Old Testament that Noah found grace because of his actions. All right, everything around him was chaotic and evil and wicked, but Noah found himself in the eyes of the Lord, God looking on him with grace. Now, we know that we can never be good enough for God's grace, but actions does trigger some things as it relates to the things of God, the promises of God, amen, the quality of life, all right? Does that make sense? The eyes of the Lord, it said, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Everybody say eyes of the Lord. I hope I can make this clear like I feel it. The eyes of the Lord. The eyes of the Lord. I have eyes. The eyes of the Lord, which is God is definitely better than us, but he is other than us. He is other than us. So the eyes of the Lord. How in the world, God, you are showing grace to a Noah? That is, he's drunk with grace. Israel obviously has grace. We see grace on Israel time after time throughout scriptures. But Israel is complaining with grace. Complain. How many times? We received a gift from God, and we say it would be nice to have a little extra supersize with that. In other words, you know, you don't want just one lobster on the cruise ship. You want two lobsters. You know, we can really be really, really, really greedy sometimes. Amen. And, you know, kind of like the movie, Color Purple. And there was a scene in the movie, they brought the water to, what's his name? He said, it ain't cold enough. In other words, it's not enough just to have water. He said, it ain't cold enough. Complaining with grace. David was a man after God's own heart, which is grace. Amen. God even depicted that of David. He actually gave David that title. But David was a killer, an adulterer with grace, and a murderer, a plotter, murderer. Moses, murderer, he murdered and questioned God with grace. You got Jesus, the epitome of grace, and Paul, thorned with grace. Grace in the eyes of the Lord. Grace in the eyes of the Lord. So I have questions. This is more of a question. God, how are you seeing us? How does this system of grace works? Anybody else have that question? I mean, I've always been an inquisitive type kid. Just always want to know, and I'm always asking why. Because God's grace system is complex yet simple and powerful. It transforms us and it causes us to repent, or it should cause us to repent and worship. Grace makes no earthly sense. I stated that a few weeks ago. It seems like it's been a long time since I've been here. Good God Almighty. But favor with man is no comparison with the with favor with God. The eyes of the Lord, grace, the eyes of the Lord. Isaiah 55, 8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." That is basically bringing clarity to the eyes of the Lord. This grace series is definitely causing Alpheus to really be more conscious of a lot of things as it relates to just being gracious, being patient. Everybody say patient. Second Peter, this patient. I don't know if you guys have seen grace and patience together, and if you have, God bless you. But especially us parents, we know a thing about patience, right? We know a thing about patience. Patience, patience. Us grandparents in the house? Any grandparents? So the next time you look at your grandchild and you get a little hint of impatience, get impatient, or you look at your child, anybody, you look at a family member, or if you are impatient with yourself, just grace yourself out. 2 Peter 3 says, read this with me, guys. 2 Peter 3, verse 14 says, "So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. Just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him." God's patience is grace. Amen? God's patience is grace. 2 Peter 3, 18. Read it with me. Ready, set, go. "But grow in grace." Everybody say, "Grow in grace." In other words, grow in patience. How many, raise your hand if you know one person in your family that you want to change, that you can write their name, if I had a chalkboard, and you like, boom, in bold capital letters, why are you not changing? Or raise your hand if you know somebody in your family that you want to ask, why are you acting like this? Like, for no reason, why are you showing out like this? It's like, okay, again? Everybody say, again? How do you think God is looking at us and saying, again? But that's that salvation and patience and grace all works together. All things work together. Amen? And so God is encouraging us through 2 Peter 3 to grow in grace, grow in patience. Amen? There's so many students that, as my wife and I, as mentors, we're wanting to change. We're trying to change them. We're trying to help them. But we got to be patient throughout this process. So, "but grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Everybody say, grow in grace. You're going to need it as a black man. All right. And I don't want to exclude, but I do want to honor the Juneteenth. All right. So y'all see where I'm coming from, friends. Grow in grace because you're going to need it as a black man. Black men have made some major grace of God strides over the past century. Grace of God strides. From the poorhouse to the White House. I'm wondering what mental fortitude it took to overcome and be successful. That's my question. Remember, I ask a lot of questions as a kid, and now as a 40-year-old, I don't look it. Amen. What went on in the head? if black men have made successful strides throughout the century, I wonder what type of tennis match of thoughts happen in the spirit, in the minds of black men. Father's Day, Juneteenth. So y'all see my connection. I wonder what went on in the head. And this is a little something that came across my desk, if you will, I'm going to say it like that. 63% of African Americans believe that depression is a personal sign of weakness. And I know that statistic is high because we as black men are contributing to that. And honestly, men in general, we don't want to be seen, amen, all right? We don't want to be seen as weak. We are the head and not the tail. We're supposed to be the provider. But this statistic is highlighting, and this resource that I have here on the screen is highlighting African Americans. And then 50% of African Americans believe that depression is a normal sign of aging. Black men in the United States, I want y'all to understand this. If this is the vibrations that's put out there, and I'm hearing this as a black man, remember I said, what is going on in the psyche, in the minds of men when you hear statistics like this, or anybody, when you hear negative news? Black men in the United States suffer worse health than any other racial group in America. So I'm waking up every day. What does that mean? Is that a death sentence for me? For example, as a group, black men have the lowest life expectancy and the highest death rate from specific causes compared to both men and women of other racial and ethnic groups. What am I supposed to think? Now, I'm definitely not a billionaire, but I'm on my way to be a millionaire. Amen. Be nice to me. I may give you a Starbucks gift card. I see millions in the future. Amen. I could do a lot with millions. I can help a lot of people with millions. Amen. But think about what's going on in the, so what is it, what's going on, what type of dichotomy is going on when you're successful and you are a male, more specifically a black male? Just want to highlight that, guys. Over 6 million men suffer from depression per year. Male depression often goes undiagnosed. This is men in general, this statistic, guys. Men are more likely to report fatigue. I'm tired. I'm irritable. Loss of interest in work or hobbies rather than feelings of sadness and worthlessness. The anxiety statistic in men is just too high. Bipolar disorders in men is too high. 2.3 Americans are affected by bipolar disorder. An equal amount of men and women develop the illness. It's a lot on our shoulders, men. Amen? As men. As black men, Juneteenth, amen? And we do know that June is also LGBTQ and some month, okay? Why am I saying that? I have this here because it's a part of this, the research, it showed up. Gay and bisexual men are more likely to develop mental health disorders than heterosexual men. Gay males are at an increased risk of suicide attempts, especially before the age of 25. Now, obviously, as Christians, we disagree with this lifestyle, amen. But we don't condemn. We dare not condemn. Amen. We disagree. That's judging. Disagree is judging, but condemning is a whole nother level. Amen. And so we don't condemn, so we actually have grace. Because now we have to figure out what in the world is going on in your like, what are you battling? What's frustrating you? I mean, why are you here? And how can I love the hell out of you? Amen. Does that make sense? Like, how can I grace you out so much that you want to change and that you actually see the error of your ways? Now, saying that is obviously judging, but I'm not condemning you. I hope y'all seeing the difference, and I'm out here now in case this shows up somewhere and somebody takes that clip. But what's going on in the dome? Straight, gay, confused, he, she, them, they. We know that it's something. There's a tennis match of thoughts going on in the head of everybody that I just included. Amen. So mountaintop victories with mental health valleys and challenges. Say that with me. Mountaintop victories with mental health valleys and challenges. All right, I want to read the scripture because Paul, now this leads me to this scripture I want to lift today. All right, and Paul, I love Paul. I like Paul. I got a cousin named Paul. All right, and so 2 Corinthians 12, 1, verse 1 through 7. Can y'all read this with me, guys? But while you're reading this, I want you to read this through mountaintop victories with mental health valleys and challenges. This is Paul speaking here. All right, ready, set, go. Paul is saying, I must go on boasting, although there is nothing to be gained. Do y'all not see the conflict already? I must go on boasting, although there's nothing to be gained. It's like, are you going to boast or you're not going to boast, Paul? All right, what are you going to do already? This is just not even a complete sentence. I must go on boasting, although there's nothing to be gained. There's conflict in a man about boasting, but look at what he's boasting about. Don't think this is associated with pride. Consider associating this with testifying. Let's keep reading. Maybe you're not going to read because I'm going to stop and go. I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. That's a mountaintop experience. Amen. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Who is he talking about? Paul says, I know a man 14 years ago caught up to the third heaven. Do y'all not see the conflict again? Because Paul is talking about himself. He's talking about himself in third person. All right. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And now know this man, whether in body or apart from the body, I do not know. But God knows. Was caught up to paradise. Everybody say paradise. And heard inexpressible things. God grace Paul to have this mountaintop experience. Do y'all know this is a mountaintop experience to be caught up to the third heaven, to be caught up to paradise? Do y'all know how awesome that is? God has given him the ability to experience this and to hear inexpressible things, things that no one is permitted to tell. You know when somebody, hey, you know such and such, such and such, such and such, don't tell nobody. And then you walking around with that intel and you feeling like, nobody else knows. I know. And then you go around and tell, you know, such and such told me such and such, but they told me not to tell nobody. So don't tell nobody. And then everybody is walking around with this inexpressible things or things that they shouldn't tell. How do you think that's going to make you feel? You have this intel, this insight, this experience. And so Paul has this conflict. He has this experience. And he's trying to figure out, what should I do with it? Should I boast, testify? Not necessarily. It's not prideful. Should I testify? Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking truth. So what's wrong with testifying about this experience? It is true. Amen. But I refrain so no one would think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say, or because of these surpassingly great revelations. mountaintop experience all throughout this passage. Mountain victories, but this mental health valley challenges. Am I making sense? Am I making sense, guys? So we have accomplished so much as a race. We have accomplished so much as a people. We've accomplished so much, but my question is, it's centered around this. I'm successful, but how am I, the quality of my success? Like, I'm here, but am I enjoying where I am? Like, what is the aftershocks? After an earthquake, you know, you have the aftershocks, the tremors. Like, what is the residual effect? Like, what's left over? Like, I'm successful, I'm making millions, I have a family, but I have unanswered questions. This statement here, success is like, y'all read this with me, success is like a mountain that keeps growing ahead of you as you hike it. And there's the very real danger that succeeding will take up your whole life while the big question go unattended. So we're on the mountaintop. And so you have Paul that was privy to this information, to this intel. And so often on the mountaintop, we say, do I belong here as a man? Like, am I fit to be a father? I don't know what I'm doing. Am I fit to lead this household? Am I fit to lead this company? How did I get here? I wonder what they would think about my success. I really did that. Wait, God really used me. Y'all see that? Well, I did that. No, God did that. I did that. I worked really hard. Well, no, God used me to work really hard. Y'all kind of see how when we're accomplishing great things for God, we can kind of get mixed up like Paul, or we can kind of have this war with man. We're around the things of God. God has graced us, but we can't get it twisted. I'm making a good salary. I am, my kids think well of me. My grandkids think I am the bomb. You know, but I wonder, do they know that I am really insecure? Or I really don't know what I'm doing. Or I really don't think I belong here. So I'm just kind of highlighting all of these thoughts that are going on in our dome. Even as women, amen? Even as women, it's just like, man, I'm doing good. Well, am I doing good? I feel like I'm doing good. But it's a lot going on. It's just like, okay. I'm okay. Am I okay? Like, I feel like I need a stool, and I'm just talking this morning. It's not teaching. I'm just talking. The wrong tea. I'm talking this morning. But I do want y'all to see this takeaway, and don't ignore the scripture that I just read, how Paul basically has this thorn in the flesh that was given to him, a messenger, mailman of Satan to buffet me. 2 Corinthians 12:7. So we have this mountaintop experience, and then now it goes down, and then we have Paul basically highlighting this thorn in his flesh. Everybody say thorn in the flesh. He said it was given to him, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. Guys, do you not know the enemy will use people and situations to curtail, to slow down your progress with a negative message? The enemy will try his best. Like when we're doing good, we're having a good day, we're having a good week. The enemy does not want you to have a good week. He does not want you to operate in the kingdom at full capacity. And so this thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, is bringing this narrative to you to cause you to trip you up in your head. So just know, when you are doing well, you are paying your bills, you're devoting your life to Christ, that look, everybody say, be on the lookout. The enemy does not like it when you succeed. The enemy does not want you to be faithful to your wife. A thorn in your flesh, a messenger of Satan to, a messenger brings what? A messenger brings what, guys? A messenger brings a message. A messenger brings a message, which is actually something to trip you up, similar to in Genesis, where what Satan said to Adam and Eve, actually to Eve first, did God really say? A message to buffet me, to throw me off, so I can't live on top, so I can't be above. So look out for, guys, you have some good days ahead. I mean, you have some incredible days ahead. I know we've lost in this room, but you have some great days ahead. I feel like somebody should have clapped right there. I am prophesying. I am speaking at least positively in your life. You got some good days ahead. Some great days ahead. I'm talking about finance. Like when I come back next week, you're going to say, my good days started this week. I want y'all to tell me. Interrupt the service. Say, hey, good days. And I'll know exactly what you're talking about. Good days ahead, guys. But I want you to know that the enemy knows that you have good days ahead as well. He knows time is running out. He is trying his best to stop you from having great days and to continue to have great days. But he's not trying to mess with your car. He's not trying to mess with your house. He's trying to mess with your what? He's trying to mess with your mental state. He's trying to mess with the health of your mind. Denzel says, I'm quoting Denzel for the very first time in history. All right, guys. Let me wrap this up too. Denzel says to Will Smith, at your highest moment, that's when Will Smith, how did Paul make it to that? He says, Paul, God showed you a lot. He calls you to be able to have this mountaintop experience, have this intel, have this revelation, to be in his presence. But Paul, don't get too comfortable there. Acknowledge it. But Will Smith, I keep saying Paul, at your highest moment, that's when the devil comes for you. Interesting, right? Did y'all watch the playoffs? Did y'all watch the game Thursday? Who watched the game Thursday? I know I'm not that guy either, but I did watch it. I'm acting like I'm the sports guy. Look at me. Do I look like a sports guy? No, that's not me. But I did watch the game. My question is many of these guys that's on the screen have had mountaintop experiences, but if you trace their life, and if you study their life and you trace their history, they need a Denzel in their life. They actually need a Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, in their life if they don't have him. Because obviously Will Smith is on the list. Bill Cosby is on the list. Juneteenth, O.J. Simpson is on the list. Jesse Jackson Jr. is on the list. I put Steph Curry on the list because he's just had a mountaintop experience. I want y'all to put him on watch care. Put him on watch care, guys. Because remember what Denzel said, and really Paul said it first. At your highest moment, the devil comes for you. Mountain victories, but mental health valleys. What triggered Will Smith was a message, was words, was something to throw him off. Nobody threw a bottle at Will Smith. I'm not picking on him. It's just a great example. Nobody threw a chair at Will Smith. They threw They just presented a message, a narrative, a word, some words, vibrations to him to throw him off. A message from Satan given to me to buffet me, to throw me off. So, guys, I do want to end here. I want to end here, if I may. So, y'all, please stand. That's a signal to me. So, black man, father, how are you doing? Paying your bills but unhappy. Married for 30 years but unfulfilled. Almost retired but have some career regrets. Money in the bank but have voids. Nice house but broken heart. Big family but feel alone. Milestone birthday. Wondering if this is it. Physically fit but mentally out of shape. Successful but empty. Saved but frustrated. Saved as a man. It's not about salvation today. It's not about, man, I need to be saved. No, it's I'm saved, but I got a lot going on in the dome. I hadn't told my wife, I hadn't told my grandkids, I ain't told my the counselor. But guys, I want to encourage you, even the righteous, successful person has a place to go to. The Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Strong tower. Tower. The righteous do what? Run. Run in and they are safe. Amen. So thank God for a safe place for us men, and that's in his presence. For us men where we can't tell nobody. Like we're like some good days ahead. One more time. I sense that in the room for all of us, not just men. Women, good days are ahead for you too. Amen. Good days are ahead for you. All right. But look out for the enemy. So next week we're going to talk about looking out for the mailman. All right. Who's coming next week? Because I'm leaving a lot out, and I hope I'm connecting everything today. I'm intentionally leaving things out. But we're talking about looking out for the mailman. Because my question is, I wonder what Paul heard on that mountaintop. And I wonder what was the thorn in his flesh. And what was the reason for this messenger of Satan? Like, I want to know why. And then actually Paul asked God to remove the thorn. Paul asked God to remove it three times. And we're going to talk about next week what the real response was. All right, you saying, I know what the response was, but what the real response was. Did God ever tell Paul? No. Did God tell Paul? No. I ain't going to take the thorn away from him. Did God say that? Did God say no? Who think God says no? I'm not going to take it away. Raise your hand. You say, think you did. He said, no, I ain't gonna take it away from you. No, really, we're just talking. How many think God said, no, I'm not going to take it away from you, Paul. You need to have this thorn. Raise your hand if you think. Don't get your Bible. Don't cheating. It is cheating. It's my class. You're right, going to the source. Okay, this is going to be good next week because, yeah, read it. I want y'all to read it, guys. Did God ever tell Paul no? But we do know the takeaway this week, guys, even on the mountaintop, all right, look out for this messenger trying to throw you off. Enjoy the good days ahead. But be vigilant, be sober, amen, amen, be aware. And God, as we leave here today, we thank you for your presence. We know that Psalm 16:11 not only says there is joy in your presence, it says in the beginning of Psalm 16:11, you said that you would show us the path of life. as a family, as men, as women, as parents, as grandparents, as black men, you would show us the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. Thank you, God, for the great days ahead. Thank you, God, for the great, wonderful days that are ahead. Thank you for the peaceful days ahead. Thank you, God, for the financial breakthrough days ahead. Thank you, God, for provision days ahead. Thank you, God, for healing us in days ahead. Thank you, God, for making us whole in days ahead. And we also thank you, God, that no weapon ahead formed against us will prosper, will be able to prosper. We thank you, God, for being an airbag around us, an airbag around our family. Thank you, God, for protecting my sister yesterday. Her car flipped, and we thank you, God, that the airbag did not come out, but you were an airbag in that SUV. And we thank you, God, for saving her life. We thank you, God, for protecting her. And we thank you, God, for being an airbag over us in days to come. Help us be aware of this messenger of Satan bringing this negative narrative. Let us be aware and have a great sense of this is not you, God, talking. And we will cast it down in Jesus' name when it comes across our doorstep. In Jesus' name. Make every crooked place straight. Make every rough place smooth. Chaos is in order in days to come. Depression is now peace in days to come. We speak life. We speak life. We even speak longevity in days to come. We speak debt freedom in days to come. We speak wisdom in days to come. Families that are potentially about to have a crazy, dramatic situation, we speak peace in those families in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we trust you, God, that you are going to fix it. You're going to show us how to fix it. You're going to heal it. Who else are we going to call on if you don't do it? We trust you. We love you. We appreciate you, Jesus. You're so good to us. You're so kind to us. You're so gracious. And the least we can do is say thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. 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 Guys, you are dismissed. Come back next week. We're going to talk about this mailman. Look out for the mailman. Amen. All right. You dismissed.